The point is, those, Graham, happen so many times throughout the day. So for these couples who feel like we have no time to go on dates and our kids, you know, we can't talk, just begin to notice those little bits for connections and take advantage of them. And those things add up over the course of a day to where it's not the answer. It's not going to make you, oh, we're now this deep connection. But what you've done is you're now connecting in some really, really small ways.
You were hearing our guest on Focus on the Family today talking about recognizing our spouse's bids for connection and just how effective our positive response to those bids can be in drawing us closer together. You're listening to Focus on the Family with Graham Schnell, and I'm Alison Schnell. Graham, you took the opportunity when you were in the States to have Greg Smalley join you in studio to record a program that covers some of the topics in his and Erin's latest book, Reconnected, Moving from Roommates to Soulmates in Marriage. I love that title because I think it's going to catch the attention of so many couples as they realize that those words perfectly describe how marriage has become for them.
Alison, I agree, and I love the title too. And I get really excited about the content of this book because it deals with so many things that we've recognized are affecting marriages in South Africa. We even spoke about some of those ideas when we were presenting our last marriage events together. It was a privilege to have Dr. Greg Smalley make time to join me in the studio so that we can get this great content out to our listeners.
And you and Greg refer to an upcoming event in the broadcast, which was going to happen around the country, but due to travel restrictions is going to be broadcast live to our audiences in their homes.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. We had planned to have Greg and Erin present their Reconnected seminars in South Africa, but we've had to come up with another route that we are excited about and offer an online date night experience that will be coming to audiences on the 4th of June. But I know that you'll give all the details on that a little later.
Yes, I will let our listeners know how they can be a part of that experience at the end of this program. But for now, let's go to that recorded interview with you and Dr. Greg Smalley. Thanks, Graham.
One of the most amazing things about marriage is having a friend to spend your life with. And friendship is important in marriage, but marriage as God designed it is so much deeper than friendship. And so we'll often hear from married couples that although they may not be struggling with any major issues, they just feel a lack of connection. And our slogan for Focus on the Family is helping families thrive. And a thriving marriage is one that is really connected. And so to speak into this issue of connection in marriage is a good friend, Dr. Greg Smalley. Greg is the Vice President of Marriage and Family Formation at Focus on the Family in the U.S. And together with his wife, Erin, they've authored over 20 books, led intensive marriage seminars around the world, including in South Africa, and trained pastors, professionals, and leaders on how to effectively work with married and engaged couples. And Greg has written a book called Reconnected, and I love the subtitle, Moving from Roommates to Soulmates. And Greg, welcome to Focus on the Family Africa.
Thank you, Graham. One of our favorite experiences has been our several weeks that we got to spend kind of touring, doing marriage events, and you have an amazing country. I love the work that Focus on the Family South Africa is doing, so just happy to be with you again.
We want to get into the subject of connection in marriage, and this idea of couples ending up in this pattern of feeling more like roommates than soulmates. And why do you think couples do fall into that pattern?
Yeah, it was interesting, Graham, when we were out just doing events and counseling couples, we just kept hearing sort of that phrase, I committed to my spouse, love my spouse, but we just feel like roommates. We feel like business partners. We feel like our family, our marriage is sort of this business that we both are just really good at running. But as far as a deep, deep level of connection that everybody longs for. I mean, when we stood up at the altar to get married, I didn't stand up there to be a business partner with Erin, right?
Yeah.
I stood up there because I wanted this deep level of connection and intimacy and fun together. And for a lot of couples, there are things that begin to happen slowly, very subtly. They don't realize will ultimately create a distance, a chasm, a gap between them, and then they're not sure what to do. For many couples, they allow this to go on and on and on, and all of a sudden, maybe their kids now are out of the house, and they look at each other and go, I don't even know you. It's like I'm living with a stranger. And I think for some, they think that they can get involved in just, you know, working full-time, raising kids, having friends, going to church, doing all these other things, and somehow their marriage will be okay. And then years down the road, they realize that we neglected that relationship, and it's suffering and needs life brought back in. That was really the hope of this book, is to go, to whatever degree you feel disconnected, you can reconnect. Yeah. This is doable. The key, though, is to better understand for us as a unique couple, maybe why is it exactly? Is it that we've got very young kids and are so busy, we're exhausted, we don't have time to take good care of ourselves, so now you have two exhausted people? And when you have two worn out, empty people, you can't have a good marriage. It's impossible. Is it that we're just so busy with young kids and doing life that we don't have time to talk, to go out on a date? Is it that we have a lot of conflict? Maybe we're not having physical intimacy together. So what I love is that we have an assessment in the beginning that really gets clear for you as a couple. Here are maybe the one or two issues that we're struggling with. When Aaron and I looked at that, when we felt that way, because Graham, there came a point in time in our marriage to where I'll never forget Aaron sitting me down and just saying, I love you and I'm committed to you for a lifetime. But man, I there's nothing there. Like, yeah, sure. I mean, what are we going to do about this?
Yeah.
Scared me.
Yeah.
Because I thought, well, that probably isn't a good thing, you know, and it snuck up on me and us.
Yeah.
And I know that happens to other couples.
So it's not just one thing. It could be one of multiple things, and it could be different for different spouses.
Right.
Their feeling of disconnection might be as a result of something different from their spouse's feeling.
Yeah.
Does it tend to happen over, you know, at a kind of an event or after a specific amount of time? Or is it kind of from the moment you say that I do, there's going to be a slow decline that you have to be intentional to work at?
Yes. I would say this sort of like, you know, when you take, now I'm not an engineer on any level, so correct me if I'm not even using the right analogy, but if you take two big magnets and you try to put them together, there's that energy that constantly is keeping them from coming together. It's driving them apart.
Yeah.
And I think in many ways, that's a reality of our life. As soon as we become one, there's like this force that is just pulling both of us in different directions. Yeah. Sort of like those opposing magnets that are just sort of pushing away. So I think that the natural flow is towards disconnection.
Sure.
That's what we have to be intentional to fight.
Yeah.
And I don't think most people realize that.
Yeah.
Once we get married, I'm marrying my best friend. This is so amazing. And yet, it's so interesting how many married couples feel lonely. And loneliness, that is probably of all the emotions, that's probably the worst, because that's so different than what we were created to experience. We were created to be in a relationship. You get married to be, this is your best friend. So for those of us who ultimately felt really, really lonely, that's a dangerous place. So even for some, it's noticing maybe I'm feeling super lonely within my marriage. Act, do something, get help, go see a counselor, grab this book, begin to learn to do some things that will naturally create a reconnection.
And I guess there's a bit of a spectrum in that some people might flow into deeper levels of disconnection before they realize it.
Right.
But this book is going to help people identify. Maybe they're still on the front end of this, but they can still act, do something to grow that level of connection.
And the irony is that we're all busy. We have so much going on, that long list of all these activities that we're involved in. So we're already feeling disconnected. We're busy. And now we're telling you to, by the way, add a book into that mix that you need to read. So really what Aaron and I have tried to do through this book is to help you identify the one or two things that really for you is creating the disconnection, and then one way to fight against that. It's awesome. A one way to reconnect within sort of whatever the issue is for you. So that's what we're not trying to overwhelm people going, yeah, okay, yeah. Try to fit in your already overloaded plate one more thing to do. Yeah. It's really just going, okay, we've got to deal with this and this. How do we do that?
Yeah. That's amazing. So you first step is identifying what is the issue that's creating the disconnection. And then you're giving handles on how to address that. Greg, give us some of those. I mean, busyness, I guess, is one.
Yeah.
And just in itself, it becomes an issue. And then do you give handles on how to then deal with that? What are some of the others?
So, you know, for those who are busy, so imagine that, you know, younger couple with two very young kids, then they're both working, they've got a lot going on, and they're just, they don't feel there's time. I physically, we don't have time. Our kids at those young ages are so demanding. And so for Aaron and I, what we're encouraging for that couple is to notice things that are called bids for connection. So a guy named John Gottman, phenomenal researcher, found that as he observed couples, that they would make these little tiny bids to connect that were often overlooked. Let me give you an example. So let's say Aaron and I are driving here. We live in Colorado Springs in the U.S. So we're driving down the road, and my favorite like dream vehicle to own is a Ford F-150 Raptor. It's like twin turbo. It's amazing. I want one of those so bad. So let's say as we're driving, a Ford F-150 Raptor passes and I go, whoa, Aaron, that's a Raptor. Oh, I love that car. Now, in an essence, I have done a bid for connection. I have told Aaron, hey, there's my dream car. She can either completely ignore that, stay on her phone, you know, texting away. Or she could even reject it by going, come on. Do you know how much those cost? That's lame. You don't want that. That's dumb.
Yeah.
So we had no connection. Or she can just embrace that small little bid and take advantage of it. So as we were driving down the car, this actually happened. And I said, oh, hey, there's a F-150 Raptor. And Aaron went, whoa. She's like, that's pretty cool. Like, is that fast? Like, what do you like about it? Oh man, it does 0 to 60 in like, you know, 5 seconds. And we had just 30-second small little connection. Yeah. The point is those, Graham, happen so many times throughout the day. So for these couples who feel like we have no time to go on dates and our kids, you know, we can't talk, just begin to notice those little bits for connections and take advantage of them. And those things add up over the course of a day to where it's not the answer. It's not going to make you, oh, we're now this deep connection. But what you've done is you're now connecting in some really, really small ways.
And the intentionality comes in to recognize the bids and respond.
Yeah.
You know, your bid for connection there was probably subconscious. You weren't thinking, oh, here's an opportunity to bid for connection.
I saw my favorite vehicle.
So it happened naturally.
Yeah.
Okay. So then Aaron had to be the one to be intentional enough to pick it up.
Exactly. She has to recognize, hey, I've reached out. I've made a bid for connection. She can then take advantage of that. It's the same thing. Like, I have zero interest in shopping. Like, I hate going clothes shopping. Once a year. Buy like 5 shirts at a time and a couple pairs of pants. I'm done. Well, Erin loves to get out walking. She's walking around the mall, loves to look for bargains. And so she might come in from a little bargain shopping excursion and set her stuff down and go, Greg, you'll never guess. Look at this shirt. Guess how much I paid for it.
I saved on this.
And so because I hate shopping, I might go, I don't care. Like, I hate shopping, you know, and so I could reject that or I might ignore it. Or I can turn towards that bid and go, I don't know, like, I know you love to shop, so I don't know, like $5. Yeah. Guess what the original price was? I don't know, like 60. Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, and it's just beginning to recognize that every single day your spouse is going to make bids. Oftentimes those bids are things that they're interested in. That's why often those go unnoticed because I don't care about shopping. She didn't care about a Ford Raptor, you know? And yet when you recognize them and you take advantage of them, those add up.
And if you do that enough, Greg, would that become more natural? So initially, you're going to have to train yourself, I guess, especially if you've gotten yourself into a pattern of ignoring those bids.
Yeah.
But once you've practiced it, does it become more natural that you're actually doing that?
And actually for Aaron and I, through writing of this book, we even will say it. Like I will say something and maybe she's, texting a friend and starts looking through other stuff. And I'll go, hey, that right there, that was a bid to connect.
Okay.
And she will set her phone down and go, wait, say that again.
Yeah.
This happened at work. And So I've even gotten good at putting it out there that actually now I'm making a bid to connect with you and you're, not doing it. Now, again, I know with the young kids and, if Erin is cooking, she's way better cook than I am. So let's say that she's cooking, I may try to make a bid and she might go, okay, I see the bid. Yeah. Right now I got to focus on this. Let me circle back.
Yeah.
I mean, this could even be just something physical. So I might walk by her and just, reach out and just, touch her shoulder or just squeeze her neck or squeeze her hand and to begin to recognize even those little things. And even if she can't do that right now, she might say, hey, I see that. Later on, I'm going to give you a big old hug. Or, anything like that. I'm telling you, it's, again, these are small little adjustments that can begin to create more connection. Yeah. That's what you're after.
And even having the language, as you said, after writing the book, to be able to say, hey, that was a bid, so that you can point it out and actually together learn to be more responsive in that respect. What are some of the other big ones, Greg?
Yeah, a big area is around communication for couples.
Yeah.
And the problem that we saw is that for so many couples, they get into the routine of over-administrating their marriage. So here's what I mean. So you think of how much time and the information and what we have to talk about to run a family, to run a marriage. Who's going to pick up kids? Who's going to go to the store? What about this part of the budget? To-do list. I mean, you just think there's a gazillion things that we have to talk about. The problem is if that's all you're talking about over time, people get bored. If every time Aaron wants to talk, it's going to be about a budget issue or a to-do list or who's picking up the kids, after a while, I don't want to engage around that. And there's nothing life-giving within that communication to our marriage. So what Aaron and I realize is that we've polled people at events to go, how much of your communication kind of revolves around this administrating, this business meeting kind of talk? And probably we've asked thousands of couples and it's probably about 80-85% of all of their communication is administrative in nature. Again, we get it. You've got to do that. That's going to happen though naturally.
Yeah.
You don't have to try to force to talk about, hey, by the way, who's going to pick up the kids on the way home? I mean, you have to figure that out. What you have to be intentional around is going after more of what we would call meaningful communication, life-giving communication, communication that goes after the person's inner life.
Yeah.
Aaron, how are you feeling? What's stressing you out? What are you dreaming about? How are things going with your friends, your relationships? It's the inner life conversations that will never come naturally because all that other stuff will get in the way. You've got to be intentional. But the research shows that sort of inner life kind of conversation, it only has to be about 10 minutes a day, just 10 minutes. And it doesn't have to be consecutive. It could be 5 minutes in the morning over a cup of coffee. It could be 5 minutes as we're laying in bed, just 10 minutes. To we're being curious and I'm exploring, what's going on in Aaron's life. I even asked her, I said, okay, if I'm supposed to do this, what are there some questions that I could ask you? Like what would be meaningful? And she goes, I got four. I mean, like instantly. Yeah. And I'm thinking, well, do you want to think about it? And she goes, I'll come up with 20. Like if you give me time, like how many do you want?
Four.
I was like, I can take four. And so she said, ask me, how am I doing emotionally? How are things going between me and our children? Not from a
business,
but relationally. Friends are so important to Aaron. So she said, ask me how things are going between me and my girlfriends. And then what's one thing that God's been teaching me as of late? And I memorize those. And so as we're laying in bed or over coffee, I'll just ask one of those. And it creates that deeper heart connection that we have to have. Otherwise, you will administrate your marriage to death.
Yeah.
Just understand me. Yeah. It just happens.
And that's so how you get into that roommate mentality, because all you're ever doing is talking about the business aspect.
Yeah.
And that's not what you said I do to you.
No.
You wanted that connection, which comes with that meaningful communication. That's fantastic. And it's very doable.
Very.
As you say, you know, identify if communication is your issue that's leading to that disconnect. 10 minutes a day of asking some just meaningful questions, heart questions, can actually cause that reconnection. What's another one, Greg?
Yeah, I think for a lot of couples over time, you know, maybe when they were dating, they used to talk about what they were dreaming about together. Like, why are we getting married? And they would think about the trips they wanted to take and the ministry they want to get involved in and the volunteer stuff and raising kids. And I think naturally, as we go through the routine of life, for a lot of couples, they just lose sight of any sort of what are we about? What are we dreaming about? What are we pursuing together? In part of the opportunity as far as connecting to each other is around some sort of shared pursuit, some sort of goal, some sort of dream. Yeah. Like for Aaron and I, for many years, Aaron was adopted. And so, she kind of brought an individual dream into our marriage to adopt a little girl. She wanted to kind of, as a girl, pay that forward.
Yeah.
And that became though, our goal. And so for years and years, we thought about this, we talked about it, we had some biological children, and then finally, we just decided we wanted to do this, we wanted to name a little girl Annie, so we wanted, you know, adopt a child, rename her Annie, so we started praying for Annie. Years went by, nothing, and I'll never forget, we were talking to a good friend of ours that went to China, went to an orphanage. They gave him this little girl to kind of walk around with all day, fell in love with her, tell us about her. And we just felt inspired to pray for her and said, do you remember what her name is? And he said, yeah, it's this American name of all things. He goes, her name is Annie.
Wow.
And so for us, we just went, oh my goodness, we think you just introduced us to our daughter. And sure enough, 18 months later, that little girl he held became our daughter. Mm-hmm. But that's the kind of thing we identified something that we wanted to pursue together. And you know, she has individual dreams. I have individual dreams. We both have our own hobbies, all that. That's great. But what are we going to be about? What do we want to pursue together? And it might be, you know, volunteering, you know, helping out those who are less fortunate. It could be, you know, working inside of a church, teaching a class. It could be sitting down with a couple in, you know, maybe younger couple and just kind of helping them to understand the realities of their marriage, whatever. There's something out there that we can both get excited about and be passionate around. And boy, as we pursue that, you talk about reconnecting. We save this one to the very end of the book because this is really my favorite.
Yeah.
I think it's the most powerful. I always tell people that, you know, God created marriage and he gave us this amazing gift in marriage. But the superpower of marriage is our oneness. And that's a powerful thing. What Aaron and I can do together is far greater than anything we can do on our own. But for so many couples, they've never identified, okay, what that oneness, like, what are we going to be about? What are we going to pursue? And so in the book, we give some great questions on how to begin to really think about that. I mean, there's like 7, 8, 9 questions that really kind of prime the pump. And we walk people through that process of figuring out some shared dream that we can pursue together. And, you know, nowadays, I mean, we've had Annie as our daughter in our home for about 9 years, and our new dream together became to do marriage ministry together. And that's why we're so excited to come back to South Africa and to continue that, because that really is our dream. That's how we're using our oneness, our marriage, to benefit others.
Allison and I have got a little booklet that we call our little dream booklet, actually.
Yeah.
And it's actually taken different shapes. Sometimes we can't find the last one and we start a new one, but we try and make a point of just getting away and writing down some of those dreams. And it's amazing that we don't necessarily even focus that much on that for the next year. And then we'll pull out that, find that old booklet and go, wow, look at how much God has done in those areas where we were dreaming together.
And so
I really appreciate that.
It is powerful. And, you know, as I've really studied this idea of dreaming together, I realized very quickly, it's really not about accomplishing the dream.
Yeah.
That's not what makes the difference in your marriage. It's actually the pursuit.
Yeah.
It's as we walk that out, that's what draws us together.
Yeah.
If we ever accomplish it or not, great. Yeah. Or it could change or whatever, but it's the pursuit that makes the difference.
And I guess it ties into the communication aspect, because that's another area that you can connect on that heart level where you say, you know, if we're dreaming about this thing, whatever it may be, how is that going? How are you feeling about that? Have we made progress? Well, Greg, we are so excited to have you and Aaron back in South Africa and to be talking about this subject of connection and marriage, because we really do want to help couples have a thriving marriage. It's one thing to stay committed, as you said, but it's a whole different thing to have a thriving marriage, which is a connected marriage. And so I appreciate that you're available and keen to join us in South Africa to do this marriage ministry. And I appreciate this book that you've written that I think is going to help a lot of couples just move deeper into that level of connection.
Well, thank you. We are so excited to be with you again. Cannot wait and to really get into this kind of material, because this is what we long to. We want a connected marriage as well.
Well, Greg Smalley, author of the book Reconnected, and again, Vice President of Marriage and Family Formation at Focus on the Family. It is such a privilege to call you friend, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Well, I thought that Dr. Greg Smalley touched on such real and vital issues affecting the connectedness in our marriages. I so appreciated what he was saying about responding well to our spouse's bids for attention. And also that idea of dreaming together. That one really gets me excited. Greg and Aaron's book, Reconnected, has only just been released in the States, but it is available through our website at safamily.co.za, or you can call us on 031-716-3300. And then, as I mentioned earlier, we are really excited to be bringing you A Date Night with a Difference on the 4th of June, where Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley will be presenting their Reconnected seminar via live stream at 7 p.m., especially for us. They'll offer practical ways to rekindle the passionate, intimate, heart-to-heart spark of connection between husbands and wives. We hope you'll take the time to invest in your marriage. In order to be a part of the action, please visit safamily.co.za and register for the Reconnected live stream event, which is absolutely free. I'm Alison Schnell for Focus on the Family Africa, inviting you to join us next time when we'll, as always, help you and your family thrive in Christ.